Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, all across the globe, welcome to another powerful event, ladies and gentlemen, sponsored by PayProV Publishing, ladies and gentlemen. Getting ready to introduce the wonderful CEO and founder, Ms. Laquita Parks, ladies and gentlemen. She's coming on shortly. Hey, what are you celebrating? So what's your story, ladies and gentlemen? That's what we're here about, a monthly series on how to write your story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most powerful events, powerful services on the planet that Ms. Parks brings to you and your business, ladies and gentlemen. So excited about you being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you celebrating? Welcome to the program. Ms. Parks, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kevin. Kevin, you are awesome. I love that introduction. I keep remembering that every time you do this introduction that I forget to pay you. I got to pay you. That is amazing. So thank you so much for joining us. Those who are listening, we are back for another episode or another series of So What's Your Story? And we do these every month. We want to help you write your story. So just a little bit about me. My name is Laquita Parks, and I am the owner of PayProV Publishing. And PayProV means pain, progress, victory, because I believe without pain, there is no progress. And without progress, there can be no victory. So I help people take their stories from a thought to a realization, because everybody has a story. 100% of everybody living and dead has a story. And just because your story looks different from my story does not negate the fact that you have a story. So we're going to jump right in. And I have some guests with me today for our topic, What Are You Celebrating? And we're going to get to them in just a moment. But I'm going to pull my screen up. And we are going to jump right into What Are You Celebrating? So what's your story? What are you celebrating? For me, this is October, so it's my birthday month. So one of the things that I'm celebrating, I don't celebrate the whole month. Some people celebrate the whole month. I haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, one weekend is good enough for me. So I'm celebrating my birthday this month. And my children surprised me with a surprise birthday party, and it was amazing. So I celebrated for the weekend, not a whole day or a whole month like some people may do. So today we're talking about what are you celebrating? So we're going to talk to you about how to write your story. What's the feel good in your life? How can you write your story from a feel good standpoint? So before we do that, I want to take the time to thank my sponsors. And one of my sponsors, Mr. Kevin Vaughn with the MLT Network, he's my streaming media sponsor, and we are so grateful for him to be in the background running everything for us, and that's a blessing. So if you need something, reach out to MLT Network to help you with your media needs. And then I want to thank Johnny Brown with Legal Shield, Kevin King with Alpha Aviation, Curtis Tanner with King Kurtz, Master Barber, David Mizell, Life Happens, and we know that life happens. Luana Bradford of the Bradford Group, and we want to thank Miss Noni with Mixed Fit for a Purpose. Y'all, she had me outside on Saturday doing some Fit for a Purpose, and I was surprised that I could walk the next day. But I am so grateful for our sponsors. Without them, we would not be able to help people take their story from a thought to a realization and do it in a cost-effective way, because everybody has a story and we want everybody to be able to tell that story. So today, we're going to just start. We're going to recap how to write your story, okay? And then we're going to talk a little bit about what are you celebrating, and then we're going to get a chance to introduce our guests and have them to talk about some things that they're celebrating in their lives. And I have some real special people on who are part of a fun project that we've been working on. So PayProV Publishing has cause to celebrate. So today we're talking all about what are you celebrating? So what's your story? PayProV Publishing is a part of my story. I want to know what your story is. Thank you. introduce yourself to a whole world of readers. So how do you start writing your story? I get this question all the time. How do I start? I don't know how to start. So I have a simple formula to just start writing. You know, sometimes like when we get ready to go into the new year, we are doing, there's always a, somebody's making some, I'm lost at the word. What are the words when somebody's coming and saying, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for the new year. Somebody help me. What's the word I'm looking for?
Resolution.
Resolution. Exactly. Man, I drew a blank. So you don't have to do a resolution. You just start. So how do you just start writing your story? Well, first of all, you set goals. In everything that we do, we have to set goals. We have to set a goal as to what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. So you set goals, but you set a realistic goal. So what's a realistic goal? So if I was getting ready to write my next book, I would set a goal to write for 2 hours a day would not be a realistic goal for me because my schedule is super busy. But a realistic goal for me would be writing 15 minutes a day because I can get up 15 minutes earlier or go to bed 15 minutes later or take 15 minutes on a lunch break. But that's a realistic goal. So to just start, you want to set realistic goals. And then you want to think positively. How many of us know that we can't get anywhere doing things negatively? Thinking negatively, it won't work. It will not work. So you want to think positively. You want to set realistic goals, and then you want to think positively. And then you want to acknowledge your why. Why am I writing this story? So when I have conversations with people and I ask them, why are they writing? I want to know what's the reason behind your why? And you should be able to tell me why you're writing. Are you writing your story to entertain? Are you writing your story to inform? Are you writing your story to advertise? Acknowledge your why. When you acknowledge your why, when you know why you're doing something, then it becomes easier to do. And then you want to retrain your brain, how you see things. That's hard sometimes, but you want to retrain your brain. And then you want to take baby steps. Somebody said, what's the best way to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Now, I don't know why anybody would want to eat an elephant, but if you got to eat one, you might as well eat it one step at a time, okay? One bite at a time. So to start writing your story, you're just going to simply just start. Set goals, think positively, acknowledge your why, retrain your brain, and take baby steps. So when you're writing your story, you want to finish strong. You want to start strong. You want to finish strong. Now, I'm going to ask the people that are my guests that are here already, how many of you have picked up a book? And I know the ones of you that are on here are readers. So how many of you have picked up a book and when you started the book, it was kind of boring? And what did you do? What did you do? Did you keep reading or did you flip to the back of the book to see how it was going to end?
Depends on how much my desire to finish the book was, but a lot of times I would just move right on through the middle, just highlight it, you know. But most of the time I try to finish it if I start it.
And for me, what about you, Ellsworth? What do you do?
I'm just the opposite. I'll if I find it boring, I'll put it down and go on to something else.
Okay. And so yeah, with me, when I start a book, if it's kind of boring, I flip to the end of the book. And if the end of the book is still kind of boring, then I put it down. If the end of the book makes me curious, then I'll go back to the beginning and I'll read to the end. But if the end is boring and the beginning, I'm not going to pick the book back up. So when you're writing your story, you want to start strong. Start with an interesting introduction and end with your conclusion being interesting. So if you start strong and you finish strong, then the middle of the book will pretty much take care of itself. So you want to start your book strong. You want to start strong, finish strong. I can't emphasize that enough. And then don't rush. Don't rush the process. Sometimes we have, when you're setting goals, you want to reach your goal, but if you set realistic goals, then there is no reason to rush the process. There are some people who have an idea in mind. They want to write their book. If someone comes to me today and say, hey, I want to write the story, my first question is going to be, what's your deadline? So if they said, okay, I want to have my reality in my hand, which, you know, we help you take your story from a thought to a realization. If you want to have your reality in your hand and you say, okay, well, I want to start my book today and I want my book in my hand by, you know, the end of November, is that realistic? It can be if you've written, if you have your content. If you have your content and you have your cover done and your book is ready to be edited, that can be realistic. But is it realistic if you haven't started your content? You haven't started writing your story? It isn't. So you have to, so don't rush the process. You want to make sure that you have a good quality piece of work that people will, that your audience will relate to. So don't rush. And then keep it simple. You know, the kiss it method. There's a keep it simple saint. So you want to kiss it, keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. And that's one of the things about writing your story. There are people who start writing their story and in 5 years, they're still at the same spot that they were trying to write their story because they've overcomplicated it. They're overthinking. So don't do that. Keep it simple. So when you're writing your story, think about your why. Why am I writing this story? And then you keep it simple. And the way that you do that, you're going to connect with your audience. So when you understand your why, then you also understand who your audience is. And it makes it easier to keep it simple. So if I'm writing a book and I'm writing it to a particular audience, if I start to try and maneuver all over the place and I think I'm going to write it to this group, I start to complicate it. And then it becomes more of a chore. And then what happens? What happens when we start overcomplicating things? We stop. It gets to be too much. So we stop. So keep it simple. So we're talking about what are you celebrating? And I want to give some quick tips because I'm so excited about my guests. I want to get to them. And these are some fantastic people with some amazing stories. And I want to get to them and give them a chance to talk about themselves and tell me what they're celebrating. So writing a feel-good story, you got to get the idea. So what's the idea? What do you want to write about? And what are the topics? So an example could be, if you're writing about your life, but you want to write about some great things that happened in your life, then you want to look at your life and think, what are those feel-good moments in your life that you want to share with other people? And then you want to ask, okay, well, why do they care? Why should I care about your story? So in the midst of getting your ideas and your topics, you think about your audience, because if you don't have the right audience, then having the wrong audience might not care about your story. So why would I want to know about your story? So Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday. And it's because there's time with family. And now since I'm older and I'm a mother and I'm a grandmother, Thanksgiving becomes even more special because now there are grandkids and there's family and we play games and I'm karaoke queen and we like to sing. So those are happy times. So if I was going to write a feel-good story, I would write the story around that time. And, you know, when my grandbaby, who was less than a year old, picked up the microphone and began to mimic us and do karaoke. That's a feel-good story, and it gives you that warm and cozy. In doing so, also, think about the conflict. There are two sides to every coin. So if it's a feel-good story, then there's a flip side to that. So for up, there's down. For in, there's out. So there's always a flip side. And then you want to think about how can you make it universal? How does this story connect? Because culturally, we have different things. We do different things. So how can you make it universal? How do you make your story universal that makes other people, that gives that other, that feel good to other people? And then is the mood right? So you're going to test it, test the waters. And how do you test that? Then that's what I call having some accountability partners. So I would say if I was writing a story and I wanted to test the mood, I would call one of my friends or a couple of my friends, not those friends that are yes, yes, yes. You know, you have those friends. How many of you have those friends that say yes to everything? I don't.
I don't
have those friends. So here's a sidebar. If you have friends that say yes to everything that you do, you need a different circle of friends because they will not make you better. They won't make you better. So connect with those friends who will tell you the truth. And I am so honored and blessed that I have friends. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes it doesn't feel good, but I have those friends who be like, no, why are you doing that? That's just dumb. One of those friends on this call right now say, you know, what? That's just dumb. So have those friends who will tell you the truth. So test the mood, okay? And there's so many different ways that you can go about writing a feel-good story. Sometimes when we're writing our story and we're sharing our story, a lot of people have tragedy. A lot of people have things that have hurt them deeply. They've been abused. They've been molested. There are a lot of those things that go on. And unfortunately, those things make us who we are today. What happened in our childhood makes us who we are today. But there are those stories, too, that are wonderful stories and stories that enlighten you and make you feel good and encourage you. And those are real stories, and those stories deserve to be written, and those stories deserve to be shared. So there's so many. For every woe is me or traumatic story, there is also a great story. I had a conversation with a lady and she wanted to write a story, and she said to me, well, my story is different from everybody's story. And I said, well, that's fine. Your story is your story. And she said, well, I want to write a story about my dad. And I said, okay. And she said, well, my dad was a good dad. And he taught me this and he taught me that. And I said, I know good dads who have done that. Write your story. So she kind of felt that, or I got I was of the opinion that she felt that because there are so many heartbreaking stories, that her story of celebration for her dad didn't really have a place. And that isn't true. That isn't true at all. So write your story, no matter what it is. We're talking about what are you celebrating today, but whatever your story is, write your story. Share your story, because there is someone waiting on the other side of your story so that they can heal from their story, or they can be encouraged, or they can be enlightened, or they can be encouraged to share their story. So write a feel-good story. Write a story that enlightens. Write your story. Whatever you do, just do it. I think somebody already coined that phrase, but just do it, okay? So what are we celebrating today? So I am so excited that on November 11th that we will officially release this wonderful piece here, and it's called Suited for Service. And Suited for Service is a community service project, and it is an anthology of stories from the men and women of the Brotherhood who have sacrificed their lives so that we could enjoy our civil liberties. And I am so excited that I have some of my guests today are contributors for the Suited for Service book. Not all of my guests are contributors, but they have their own things for celebration, and I want to hear from them. But if you go on to PAPROVI publishing.com, support the book. The book is $9.11, and 100% of all the proceeds will go to a nonprofit organization that supports veterans, and we're super excited about that. So I am going to pause right here, and I am going to introduce or allow my guests to introduce themselves, and there's no rhyme or reason to this, but I think I'll introduce in the order in which you guys appeared on the screen. So first, I want to introduce Mr. Ellsworth Grant, and Ellsworth and I have been friends for a long time, and I've learned a lot from him, and he's going to talk about some of that in just a moment. And then we'll hear from Mr. Robert Brooks, and you guys have probably heard from Robert Brooks before. Really good friend. I've known Robert Brooks for a number of years. And then Mr. David Patterson, I'm so excited to have him. David is one of the contributors of Suited for Service, but Mr. David has a book of his own coming out really, really soon. before the end of the year. And his book is called, I'll let David tell you the name of his book and let him share what his book is about. So Ellsworth Rand, hello, how are you?
Hey, not too bad, hanging in there.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. So tell us about yourself, and then I want to know, what are you celebrating? Because, you know, you're kind of interesting, and you got some interesting things to celebrate. So very interesting person. So tell us about yourself.
I want to do it backwards. I want to tell you that I'm celebrating retirement. So I was blessed to make good decisions, and I ended up retiring at 55, which typically individuals retire in their 60s, if not right at 65. But yeah, I made good decisions along the way. I had a U.S. military career. I was a Navy guy for 29 years, 5.5 years active, and I did the other 24 in reserves with two deployments. One to where we call the sandbox, and the other one to the Great Lakes region to help train the newbies coming out of boot camp. And that overlapped with a 30-year career at United Parcel Service. So I have been busy. I've been productive and proactive, and I have, on the side of that, created a small investment club / business, where we share ideas and we share information to make investment decisions. And we're trigger pullers. In other words, we don't sit and talk about the investment. We actually take the money and invest it. We specialize in small caps, which are penny stocks, basically, but we invest in a variety of different, different vehicles. But inevitably, I'm blessed. I've lived a good life and able to leave with my absolute 100% health. One thing in the military, a lot of people ask you is, the first thing they ask you as you meet fellow veterans is, hey, what's your number? What's your percentage? And I'm a 0%er. I have no ill health effects or anything. So. Oh yeah, you at least got sleep apnea. You at least got a hearing issue or whatever. I was like, well, maybe, but in the meantime, I'm gonna enjoy being healthy. But other than that, overall, I think. And thank you for letting me speak. And if you have some questions per se, I can kind of, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do have a couple of questions, but I'm going to bounce back to you. I'm Mr. Robert Brooks. Could you introduce yourself and tell us what might you be celebrating? You're muted.
Oh, were you talking to me?
There's one Robert Brooks on the phone. I mean, on the call. So yes, I would be talking to you.
I'm sorry. I was writing. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what might you be celebrating?
Oh, I'm celebrating the abundant life.
All right. And tell us about the abundant life.
The abundant life is a gift. And I got it from the God that gives abundant gifts.
All right.
Yeah, in the form of Jesus Christ. That's basically what I celebrate. Matter of fact, I was that's what I was writing, celebrating the abundant life.
Okay.
I didn't just start it today. I started it some time ago, but yeah, that's what I was basically doing. And I can't think of a better thing to celebrate other than the abundant life. Because if you don't have the abundant life, you have a bomb life. Don't type that. That's in my notes. But nonetheless, and the reason I'm writing this is because that's where my mind is wrapped up, is in Jesus Christ. And so my thoughts come from his thoughts. And I know that if my thoughts come from his thoughts, my thoughts are going to be thoughts of abundance. And the abundance depends on the substance of my thoughts. And as Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind that was in Christ be also in you, which means that you have to retrain your mind, your brain, so that you can have those abundant thoughts. So that's some of the context of which I was writing. And of course, there's a second abundant life that I celebrate, and her name is the Chocolate Diamond. Great.
The chocolate. Can you please tell people who the Chocolate Diamond is?
The Chocolate Diamond is one of my great grandchildren. I have 92 grandchildren and great grandchildren together. But nevertheless, the Chocolate Diamond have stolen my heart for the last 7 years. And at 7 years old, she still misses me. Now that is something to celebrate, because once your grandchildren turn 6 or 7 years old and go off to school, they say, Papa who? And so she's still in love, as we say, with her papa. So that is an abundant celebration for me. And so those are two things that I celebrate. And I always say that grandparenting is God's way of blessing us to get it right that we didn't get right the first time. And so I'm taking full advantage of the blessing. And so those are two things that basically I'm celebrating. As great as the Chocolate Diamond is, she has to come second to the abundant life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Brooks. Don't go anywhere. So if you are just tuning in, this is another segment of So What's Your Story? And we're talking about, what are you celebrating? We do this every month, and we talk about how to write your story, and we do different topics, and we have different guests. And right now, we are talking with Mr. Ellsworth Grant, Mr. Robert Brooks, and we are going to introduce Mr. David Patterson. I'm going to have Mr. David Patterson introduce himself and tell us just what is he celebrating.
Well, you know what? I'm celebrating just being on this Zoom. With some amazing writers and people here who have served and who have given, whether they served, as we call, civilian soldiers or actually soldiers that don the uniform. And then we have the civilian soldiers like Laquita, who's out here on the front line being the difference and make the difference. It gives everybody an opportunity to take their vision and make it a reality, be able to tell their story. And I celebrate that, because I know how difficult it is on another side of the house to let anybody hear your voice from the heart. Not too many people are actually concerned whether or not your story be told. If your name not Denzel Washington or LeBron James, they don't care about your story. But when you have someone like Laquita, who comes from the heart to want everybody to get an opportunity to be heard, they say it's three things you should do: have a baby, write a book, and plant a tree. Well, I planted the tree and I had a baby, and now I'm going to work on this book. So God has blessed me to be here. I celebrate my life. I wake up every day saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, God, for your breath and strength, because you didn't have to give it to me. And so I celebrate the opportunity to be able to share my story. My story, as Mr. Grant presented, you know, I did over 30-something years, actually 37, 2.5 laid up. I got hurt over in Afghanistan. But I retired out. Mr. Grant, I do have that 100%. And my buddy, who's my mentor, told me, well, if you got to be hurt, it's nice to get paid for it. So I celebrate that. But I take it not lightly, because there are so many people without who we know have donned that uniform and got hurt, but for whatever the red tape is, they don't receive the benefits that they paid their life for in some form or fashion, whether that life experience is actually someone lost their life, their family got disenfranchised, or their life is just so horrific that now they're the people we see with the sign on the corner. So I celebrate the ideal that God is using all of us here to be able to share our story, that somebody might experience what we have been through and have a, how should I say, they would have hope. The word tells us that God has a plan for our life, not for harm, but to, for us to prosper and give us a hope and a future. We all have seen those who have lost their hope and given up on their future. But this opportunity to share a book, maybe someone will read it and have hope again. Maybe somebody will read and believe again. Maybe somebody will read it and want to write again. So I celebrate that. I celebrate my beautiful children. My daughter is 29, and she was not supposed to live to see one day, and yet she's beat the odds to live, well, soon to be 29. My son will be 24 tomorrow, and I celebrate him because he's taken a level of independence. You know, we're interdependent. He's taking a level of independence, not to be one of the boys that just give in, get out, but he gets out and he do his due diligence, and he's living a pretty successful life. I celebrate my family and friends. I celebrate my own ability to, when things should have brought people down, I'm a cancer survivor. I'm a survivor of a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of stuff that would took most people out. And I just, thanking God the other day, I said, you know, with all the things that happened that have taken people out, and I have a lot of prayer groups, and I hear the stories of people suffering, and some of those things I've experienced myself, but what has happened is that I've been able to overcome it. Truly, Mr. Brooks, as you say, we got the abundant life. You know, when Satan comes to try to kill, steal, and destroy, God comes back and eradicate what Satan is doing and give us the abundance. And not the abundance that the world tells us about, but the abundance of the peace of mind that nobody can give, joy that's unspeakable, a life that is full of eternal joy. So I celebrate life. I celebrate you, and I say thank you.
Oh, wow. You can ready to preach now. Wait, I don't even know. I'm at a loss of words.
Wait a minute, I got two
more turns. Go ahead.
But they said, the priest said, I'm going to stop here. And he said, wait a minute, I got two more.
Pass the collection plate.
I love it. I love it. For those of you who have just joined, we are talking about What Are You Celebrating? I am Laquita Parks with Pay Pro V Publishing. And Pay Pro V means pain, progress, victory, because without pain, there is no progress. And without progress, there can be no victory. And I am so excited because there is always something to celebrate. Even in the midst of your storms and your trials, your tribulations, there's something to celebrate. And everybody got a story. And your celebration, whatever you go through in your life, if you're here today, that's cause to celebrate. If you opened your eyes, that's cause to celebrate. So we all have something to celebrate. So I want to jump back to Mr. Ellsworth Grant. And you talked about the financial part. Tell me what is, and so I'm going to share this, and he, you know, I didn't get permission, but, you know, some people say it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. So I know a lot of people that retire, right? I know a lot of people that retire. Quiet as it's kept, I'm retired, but I'm not retired. But how does one retire 1 week and go back to work because they were bored the next week? How does that happen, Mr. Ellsworth Grant? I called Ellsworth a few days ago, and he answered, and he said, I'm at work. And I looked at my phone. It was a Saturday. I looked at my phone, and I said, what? How does that work? And I said, wait. So when he called me back, I said, so you retired from a job that you didn't work on Saturdays, and now you go to work on Saturdays? How did that work? And this is from somebody who is financially secure. So, Mr. Ellsworth Grant, how does that work? Why did you go back to work? And you didn't need to. You didn't have to. It wasn't like there are people who retire because they've aged out or they're tired, but they cannot afford to retire. How did you, why? Tell us why you chose to go back to work. And then tell us about this financial thing and why it's important.
Sure. So the simple answer is I just got incredibly bored. You can only watch so much Netflix. You can only cut so much lawn. You can only, kill so many zombies, so to speak. So, so I ended up wanting to be productive. I think I'm a closet OCD, ADD, and all the other letters put together. And so, I sitting around that, I think that'll kill you faster than anything else. So I ended up wanting to do something very, very simple. And I ended up in, ironically, a field that I always kind of wanted to be in, and that's the automotive field. So they allowed me to, go in the back of the dealership and change some oil and rotate some tires kind of thing. And I was like, hey, not only is this fun, I actually enjoy it. I can't believe for the first time in my life, I look forward to going to work because it's something that, one, I can use myself, obviously, right? But two, I'm learning so much. I'm learning so many of the intricate details of things that not only am I interested in, but I want to actually, hands-on kind of guy. I think that benefits me from my brain just rotting away doing nothing. To answer your question about the financial thing, so what is life without God? And secondly, what is life without being able to eat? And how do we eat via God's grace to give us the ability to make the money to put the food on the table? So having said that, always been interested in trying to multitask. And the world of finance, or like I call it passive income, because I'm not really big into trying to work harder. I'm trying to work smarter, and I probably have 100 things that you probably already heard of, but the bottom line is this. The more you spend time, money, energy, and effort in anything you do, typically you get better at it. So I chose to use this small company and the things that I love to do in the past, which is investing in the stocks and the bonds and the mutual funds and the ETFs and all those things, and learn more about it. This crypto craze thing is something that I'm really interested in, and I have connections and friends and relatives doing their thing, but for some reason I still didn't stick my foot in that pool to see if that water was hot or cold or not. But I know it's happening because I see people doing well. But inevitably, I think me, very balanced portfolio kind of guy, very very cautious, but not zero risk adverse, because you got to have some risk adversity in order to make profit. So I think inevitably, if people take their time, like Mr. Patterson said, do your due diligence and, understand what you're doing and never make a decision unless you understand it, unless you can articulate it, unless you have tried it. I think we'll be you and us and whoever wants to partake in that endeavor, I think they'll be successful. I'm just hoping that more people really sit down and try to understand that side of life versus just, crossing their fingers and hoping for the best. That you can actually win. And when I see a 12-year-old girl make 10 figures every month, I'm like, wow. She makes over $10,000 a month. A 12-year-old, I'm like, wow. So, yeah, I think people can do it if they want to. So that's where I'm at.
I will say I learned a lot from Ellsworth. For those of you listening, we're talking about what are you celebrating, and there are different aspects of your story, and there are aspects of your story that you should celebrate. Ellsworth just said that he retired one week and went back to work next week, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And I tell you, somebody somewhere said, if you do something that you love, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I love what I do. I love helping people take their stories from a thought to a realization. I love talking to people. I love motivating. I love coaching and developing people. I love that. And it doesn't feel like work to me. And it isn't work to me. It's something that I totally enjoy. I will say I learned a lot from in the finance part. I never thought about investing before I met Ellsworth, and he just simply said, hey, let me ask you a question. And that question led to a whiteboard, and it led to, you know, hey, read this book. And then it led to, you know what, let me play around with this penny stock thing. And it became really interesting. And it led to me doing some investing and thinking differently. And it went from not knowing anything and at Ellsworth teaching. And I actually had him come out and teach one of my women's groups give some tips on investing as well as one of my youth mentoring programs. And now I have my children investing. You know, it's like you guys need to invest. Your money's sitting in an account and it's going nowhere. Nothing wrong with having money in a savings account, but you got $100 in your savings account. In 1 year, you'll still have $100 in your savings account. Right. But when you invest that $100, you know, you can that you can go 10, 15, 20, 50% over your investment. And that's more than, you know, triple what it would be, or actually 50% more than what it would be, 100% of more than what it would be if you just left it sitting in the bank. So I like the fact, and that's cause for celebration, because we have to learn, and especially as African-American people, we don't get that. We don't get that lesson. So we need to learn how, you know, what to do. God wants us to be good stewards. And we have to be good stewards. I know as a Christian, I have to be a good steward of my money and what I do with it and who I help. So somebody told me once before, you know, Laquita, what can you do? Can you do more with $1 million or with $1? I'm like, of course, $1 million. So look at it this way. The more money you make, the more you can help do those things that you want to do. And for me, it's uplifting the kingdom. So doing those, learning that was really, really very interesting. And it's been beneficial, because I've seen some good return on the investment. So it's been really, really good. So Ellsworth, if somebody is interested in, you teach, right? You teach on investing and all those things. You do that,
absolutely,
right?
Yes, I do.
And you know, sometimes people want to know, well, how does he know? You kind of have a degree in finance, right?
I do.
Okay, so how would somebody get in touch with you if they were interested in learning more about investing, how to invest, whether it's penny stocks or, you know, if they're doing the long or the long-term, short-term penny stocks, how would they get in touch with you? And you can put it in the chat too, if you could put your information in the chat. But tell the people, because we have about 250,000 people listening to us today.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, they might want to get in touch with you and know how they can, you know, how they can learn how, learn about these penny stocks. Very interesting thing to do.
Sure. I have a very small company. It's called Granted Solutions. And the email there is grantedsolutions@gmail.com. Very easy.
Awesome. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. Mr. Brooks, are you still there? Are you writing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm curious about something. You talked about the chocolate diamond, and I've done some work, and I've seen the beautiful pictures. I'm just kind of curious. How do those other 93 grandbabies of yours feel about your chocolate diamond having captured your heart?
I never consulted them.
Say how they feel is not your concern, huh?
I can't tell people what to do with their feelings.
Somebody once told me, y'all, don't be fooled by your feelings, or your feelings will have you feeling like a fool. Is that right?
That's right.
So, Mr. Brooks, tell us more. I like the ultimate celebration of life and the God-given life that we have. And you're retired, And I'm amazed by people. I used to say, you know what, I want to be just like y'all when I grow up. And, you know, I sometimes people say, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? Or what do you want to be? Or in the next 5 years, what do you want to do? And I can honestly say that I want to do what I'm doing now. And that's helping people take their stories from a thought to a realization. It's exciting because Robert Brooks, I helped, and it's worth celebrating. I helped him he finally said yes and allowed me to publish a book, two books actually. And actually this fragrance, Integrity, is the companion fragrance for his book, Rock Bottom. And Rock Bottom is a modern day parable of the prodigal son. And so this book and this name Integrity came from Mr. Brooks. So in celebrating, that's another thing that we can celebrate. We can celebrate the book. And Mr. Brooks, I haven't said it, but I've gotten some really good response and good reviews off the book, off of your book, because one person bought your book and she called me and said she needed to buy some more copies because she was giving one to all of her children. And she said they need to read it. So that's cause for celebration, don't you think?
I would say so as soon as I check the mail to see if the check is in.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. The check will come to me and we will be clear. The check is in the mail. It is in the mail. Actually, it's in the account. That's what the check is.
Okay.
So Mr. Brooks, why that particular book, and why is that something to celebrate?
Well, yet again, I'm not one-dimensional, but I'm one focus without being one-dimensional. That's some of my throat. And my one focus is theology. And that story interested me because of so many people that I've seen going down the road that leads to rock bottom. And that's because the son in the parable did not celebrate the blessings that he had at home. And therefore, he left those blessings looking for something that was greater than the celebration that he already had. And then when he returned home after hitting rock bottom, it's supposed to be a 2020 vision as to what happened to you when you fall so low that you can't see anywhere except up. And so, and then when he goes back home, we know the story that there's a celebration. And the father says, my son that was lost have now been found. Nevertheless, everybody don't celebrate what you celebrate. Because his biological DNA brother did not want to celebrate. So he saw the party as being, of the celebration as being a rejection of him. And so therefore he didn't want to celebrate. So that's why I wrote that book, so that maybe there are some people that's going to the far country, looking for a life to celebrate, but there's only death there, but not a celebration. And so this guy didn't celebrate life. Someone said, don't lose what you have trying to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with him. He didn't recognize what he already had. And usually people say, she was looking for love, and I wonder why it's always the she and not the he. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay, so that's how you hit rock bottom is looking for something that you already have in places that you shouldn't be looking, and then when you don't find it, you end up at rock bottom.
Wow, and that sums up the book. So the book is available. You can purchase the book through Amazon.com. You can also purchase the book through PayProBePublishing.com. And wow, it's, read the book. I thank you, Kevin. You see over there, Kevin put up the chocolate diamond.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So I want to go back to you, David. David, like I said, we are getting ready to launch Suited for Service, and this is Suited for Service, and again, it's available on PayProvPublishing.com. Purchase a copy or two or five or ten. You can give them away. If the money goes to support a great organization that supports veterans, I don't receive any of the money. All the money does not, the Pay-Per-V does not take any of the money. It goes to the organization. But I want to talk about your story, David. And we're not going to share the whole story because you got to buy the book, okay? You have to buy the book. But I want to say David was the first one to submit his story. And with David's story in Suited for Service, it was an eye-opener for me. And, you know, if you, and I know we have two veterans on the meeting today, but I was one of those people who would drive down the street and, you know, you would see them, see the signs, and they were standing on the, you know, the intersection of the end of the freeway. I'm homeless veteran. And I would simply say sometimes, you know, I would wonder and I'd say, you know, don't they get a check? And within David's story, he quickly corrected me, and that changed my perception. It changed the way that I see things. So when I now when I see them, I understand it depends. It depends on their, you know, how long they served, or there are a lot of different things that go into that. And I didn't know that before. And so sometimes when we speak about things, we speak from a standpoint of ignorance. Not calling nobody dumb, but just saying you don't know. If you don't know, you're ignorant of it. And I was too. So I was so glad to read his story. And there was a lot of other details and content that was just an eye opener for me, who was a non-civilian. And these are things that I wouldn't have known. My dad was in the military, and I knew nothing. He never talked about his time in the military. I knew nothing about it. So this was all new. And so, David, tell me, why was it important for you to write that story? You're muted.
I think the reason I shared it, seeing so many soldiers return back. Me and my mother was just talking about one who returned back from Vietnam. I was the last of the Vietnam era, who returned back from Vietnam, and life would have it, he'd get hit by a bus. But before he had got hit, he wasn't home long. Before he got hit, you know, a lot of the veterans came back and they were on drugs. A couple of my own uncles were, and they struggled with drugs or alcohol. And you know how the story go. Uncle John, Uncle Joe, he crazy, he tripping, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, as a kid, you don't really grasp it. But this gentleman that came back and got hit by a bus, you know, he shared a little bit of his story. And, you know, the struggles and the challenges. Well, you know, when they come back from Vietnam, they wasn't as received as us who come back from Afghanistan, Desert Storm, or what have you, the same way. They were put down, belittled, and busted and disgusted. And so, as you said, Laquita, many times people look out, even my former wife would say, you know, well, my friends said, you know, they can just go down and get these benefits. But everybody's story is different. Even Mr. Grant tells us, you know, that he didn't pick up percentage. And they would say, hey, go down there. You got sleep apnea. You can get this amount of percent. But that's easier said than done. That sounds good in theory. But when you go down there, you have to deal with the red tape. There's a whole other story. It would appear. I can't say this is more so hearsay. They say, well, you know, their mission is to make sure you don't get no benefits. I don't know if it's true or not. When I was in the Warrior Transition Program, for which is the medical side of the Wounded Warrior deal, there was a very small percentage of African-American people in that. I came out 100%. So, and even then, I didn't even realize that there was red tape to continue. So I come out 100% temporary because I had PTSD and TBI. But my physical ailments reached 100% right off the top, all the things that happened because I was in a severe accident. But that wasn't enough. So, but I'm thinking I'm good. I go down there and they tell me later, you're not permanent. So they turn me to permanent, which means that looks pretty good terminology, right? Then when I go to try to receive my benefits, they say, oh, you got to be total and permanent. Now I'm confused about total and permanent. They seem to be the same meaning in my little brain to some degree, but because of my challenges, I got it done in 3 years. Most people it takes usually 5+. But I was one of the fortunate ones, and I was willing to do the due diligence. As the old saying go, if it never was recorded, it didn't happen. So many people didn't get their information recorded. I started right in theater, and I continue. I've been out retired now. This will be my 7th year, and I haven't stopped going to the doctor's or hospital yet. I'm in the hospital or a clinic or a site where they help us with our PTSD every week since I've been home. Since 2012, I've been dealing with this. So I got much documentation. I just got an MRI Monday. So, but when you go to get... When somebody try to challenge you, it'd be hard-pressed for them to get a hold of me because I got a lot of documentation. But most soldiers don't have no documentation. Most soldiers don't even know how to start and begin. And even if they do, again, if it happened when they were in the war zone and they got nothing to validate that, it's just a struggle that's unreasonable. For some people, we know by human beings' makeup, they don't have the resiliency to bounce back. They don't have the ability to press forward. And that's not because God didn't give it to them. It's because they've been conditioned throughout the course of their life that if you don't make it happen right then or yesterday, what's the point? They just stop and they freeze. And if you already have predisposition to other things such as your DNA says, hey, you got a predisposition to be an alcoholic. Let's say if you wanted to cope with the environment you were in and you start drinking, when you come out and then you try to do a little bit of that red tape, it blows your way. What's your go-to? I'm going to go get drunk. Well, before you know it, this cycle continues. Now, that's just on that part. Then we also know people have mental health issues that never got addressed, So there's so many factors that contribute to a soldier's story that you see with that sign in his hand, he or she for that matter, that we don't know nothing about. There's too many contributing factors, but nobody tell that part of the story. So as always, you just go down to the VA. You just go do this, but they don't know the story. And so I think the reason I took the time to write it was because I wanted to share a little piece without getting too in-depth. Most people that go to war don't share a whole lot about what happened. But I wanted to at least highlight enough to give people a different, it must have worked because I'm sure you being as sound and wise you are, Laquita, and a investigator, that for someone to just say, hey, it changed your mindset. My hope to God is that every word that goes forward from me as much as possible would have an influential, influential power on people, if you will, to change the way they think about things, renewing their mind on things that maybe we didn't know, we took for granted, we just didn't give credence to. And the veteran story is so important. That doesn't mean all the other veterans out here, there's the civilian veterans, if you will, the police department, fire department, all of them don't have a story. Even if you never went to a war zone, there's wars out here to deal with. The stories are important. Mm-hmm. But I thought the veteran story was important. I put my whole life in it. As we said earlier, I remember one time, and I'm going to stand down, a colonel came to me and said, you don't go home. I'm just doing what I do. And he said, you don't go home. Do you sleep? I said, yeah, I sleep. He said, well, why don't you go home? I said, well, I go home when I'm done. I love what I do. And I never forget a general I told the same thing to. He said, I wish I loved what I do. I said, well, and you said it. Well, I heard it from Isaiah Thomas. He said, when you love what you do, it ain't work. Well, I love what I do. I literally shed a tear when they told me they were going to retire me. I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to get this little piece. So I met a Marine when I come into the Army, and he went from Marine to Army, and he said, if I'd have stayed in, I'd be retired now. Don't you never get out. Well, I go, I'm scared because he's a Marine, right? I go, oh, okay, I ain't going to get out. And they'll never get out. They were literally going to have to kick me out because I was going to, ride it out. So, blessed enough to be a good soldier that one of the reasons I got so much time is because they wanted me to continue to train soldiers. And I felt honored by that. I had some really high people change things around just so I could train soldiers. So in the end, again, a soldier story is so important. And if we can share a little bit to give people better understanding what soldiers deal with, that's my mission.
I love that. I love it. I want to share this. So tell us about this story.
This story, if you will, is kind of like Mr. Brooks as well as Mr. Grant. And I'm going to ask Mr. Grant a question after I say what I say here. Because you're in Atlanta too, Mr. Grant, of Georgia?
Yes, sir. Right in Conley.
Okay. You wouldn't happen to have any grants in Detroit, would you?
No. We're South Carolinian, South Carolina.
Okay, Roger. Well, I just thought you kind of favored my former wife's brothers, so I just thought, let me ask.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I thought I had. Yeah. But my book, The Spirit of a Soldier, which Laquita has done a great job. We battled with what the cover was going to look like.
Yes, we did. And I won. Thank you for letting me win, David. I fought the soldier and I won. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to be a mystery man, even though I can talk. I like staying behind the scenes if I can. And so I didn't want to have a face because it was not about me. It was about the book. And the book is basically a collection of devotions. I started doing devotions when I was overseas. I read everybody's devotions, and the Holy Spirit gave me devotions. And so I said, well, let me do this. So I've written a lot of them. And then I learned this thing called text. So I started, I didn't get it. I just said, hey, let me just write. Well, they can be a little lengthy, but after a while, when people got used to it, they go, you know what, this ain't bad. And so I went back and forth with the Holy Spirit, like, you know what, maybe it's too long. People say I'm taking up too much of their space. And then the Holy Spirit's like, no, those that have ears to hear and those that have a heart to see, I mean, eyes to see and a heart to believe will receive it. And so the replies begin to change, and people, for some reason, if I had to stop, they would go, hey, where you at? So it's a book of devotions, of the struggles, the challenges that we as people have. I believe that we all are soldiers in God's army, those who have received Christ and accepted as their personal and Savior. So these are inspirationals, if you will, of devotions that help people to see things, not in the dark times, but in the light. When their life is really a challenge, things that we as the human side of us struggle with, I attempt to try to put that in perspective in order that we can stay in the race. You know, the word tells the race not getting to the swift or strong, to him that endured to the end. It's hard to stay in the race. My granddaddy used to tell me, who was a soldier as well, my nickname was Bub, and he would say, Bub, you know, it's easy to die, but it's hard to live. You got to learn how to live. And I kept that in my heart on how to live. But sometimes, you know, it don't look like there's an answer in sight. As much as you know God's word, you keep indulging in it, you talk to people to know his word. Some days it's just those lows are just low. And I've had people reply back and say in those dark times they saw a light in my devotion. So this is what this is all about. And it comes from the spirit of a soldier. I think that we are spiritual beings housing the body with a mind, will, and emotion. And if we can tap the spirit, we can move the body, the mind, and help the will line up with God's word.
I love it. Coming soon to a bookstore, coming soon before the end of the year,
yeah.
The Spirit of the Soldier. Thank you so much for sharing that. Mr. Ellsworth Grant, I want to circle back to you, and I want to ask you a little bit more, if you can share a little bit more about the cryptocurrency. I know you proceed with caution. But tell me, can you tell us a little bit more about the cryptocurrency?
Yeah, so one of the things I've learned early on as I was reading and studying to try to become successful is, and of course it says, never trust your broker. Never believe your broker. Why? Because if a broker knew it all, then he would take his or her own money and invest all of that in the security of, you know, the stock or the bond or whatever. So having said that, I'm going to use that same logic for cryptocurrency. I'm not here to tell you Bitcoin is better than Dogecoin or Ethereum or any of that stuff, because going back to doing the due diligence and actually reading, watching the YouTube videos, practicing and getting involved yourself. In other words, I can tell you right now I invested in X. Okay, I'll have 40 people invest in X and they're like, oh man, that was a bomb, blah, blah, blah. Or I'll have 40 people invest, oh man, that was great. So my point is that until you have done it yourself, until you have done your research, and that's the key to success, I think, until you've done your research, please don't take the advice of anybody except for people who are winning and have invested their own money. Now, having said that, I haven't invested any money in crypto. Although I've done a lot of research and I have friends who are making money and relatives who are making money, I personally haven't stuck my toe in that pool yet. For some reason, it's logical. It makes sense. This economy is causing people to rethink the dollar and the value of it and inflation. I can go on and on and on, but the point is this. Watch a couple of videos on the things that you think is going to work for you. And if you're interested, pull the trigger. If not, move on to the next investment. But I like to use the KISS method like you said and keep it simple. And I'm still old school, like they say, with the stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And we just happen to be blessed to have high returns in our penny stocks. In fact, I have another friend. She's doing over 80% in her penny stocks. And I'm like, whoa. So every $1,000 invested, you got 800 back? Okay, kind of thing. And that's purely from what I taught her. So I think, you know, the right answer to that question is for people to obviously, if you're interested, get involved, but don't ever make a trade unless you can articulate it yourself, unless you can teach it. I like what Mr. Patterson was saying, how he was an instructor and how, because I was an instructor for years too, and standing up in front of, you know, auditoriums or in front of squads or whatever, I know that unless you're clear with what you're saying, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I wouldn't advocate anybody trying to do anything unless they understood and actually lived and believed in what they were saying. So I'm going to yield on the cryptocurrency question for now and get back to you.
Okay. My people perish for lack of knowledge, right?
That's right.
And all that getting, get understanding. Thank mm-hmm. you. I appreciate that. So sure. We are talking about what are you celebrating? And I have three gentlemen on here and they have an abundance of things to celebrate, from the gospel of Jesus Christ to retirement, to chocolate diamonds, to new books. And I'm so excited to be a part, just a little small part of that. Kevin Vaughn, before we wrap up, what are you celebrating?
Let me go ahead and pop in here. I'm going to use this technology, gentlemen, real quickly here and pop right in here. I love it. How you guys doing today? I love
great,
it.
Great.
Great. Thank you so much.
I thought you were Jeffrey Osborne.
I hear you, Doc. I hear you. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm celebrating iron sharpening iron. You know, Laquita is so powerful when brothers get together. As you know, Brother Brooks, I know you know about that for sure. But when brothers get together, the earth shakes, ladies and gentlemen. We start walking. The earth starts shaking, man. Tsunamis start happening, you know. So it's so wonderful. So I'm celebrating you guys today and the fact that iron sharpens iron. So even today, just listening to you guys, I got sharpened today. The next area, Sister Parks, I'm excited about is the power of transformation in my own life. I'm going to tell you guys that the whole system for improving everything is the inside job. That's for me getting better each and every day. Guys, I've been in quality for over 40 years. I'm an engineer as well, taught quality. And one of the favorite words I loved was always continuous improvement. Always wake up to continually improve. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Don't beat myself up. Just continually improve by listening to people like you guys. You know, just learn all you can, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk to the men out there real quickly. Men, young men, and women as well, get better every day. Don't worry about what you didn't do and what you didn't learn. Learn it. You know, start reading. I love that. Somebody mentioned about reading, Sister Parks. read everything. Man, if nothing else, guys, audio. You got everything's on YouTube, man. Man, I put in sinks. I put in lighting. I put in all kinds of stuff. Just go to YouTube. It'll teach you how to do it all, man. Save you a few dollars, too, as well. Well, Laquita, I do celebrate life today on sharpening iron, iron sharpened iron, including yourself, plus the fact that the power transformation is important. Once we get that mindset, you're done. You cannot stop. Nobody can stop you. Matter of fact, God won't even stop you because you'll be doing so much good work that represents him. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you. You know, when you talk about celebration, it is absolutely imperative that you celebrate your accomplishments. Sometimes we get so bogged down by the vicissitudes of life that we forget to celebrate. We forget to award ourselves with those little things. So what are you celebrating? There are so many people. I'm so honored to have the opportunity to work with so many people with some amazing stories and amazing reasons to celebrate. Every author that has trusted Pay-Per-View Publishing with helping them take their story from a thought to a realization has cause to celebrate. They are not only are they celebrating their book, whether they've released it, whether it's about to be released, or whether they're still working on it, there is cause to celebrate. We are also celebrating. We're celebrating Miss this woman right here, Miss Mary Beal, coming up on Saturday. We will be in Cordell, Georgia. See, Pay-Per-View travels. You guys didn't know that, did you? We travel. We go to where you are. We try to anyway. We will be in Cordell, Georgia on Saturday helping Miss Mary Beal in her virtual and in-person book release. She wrote this fabulous book called How to Live Well Past 100 Years. And the person who she wrote about, Miss Mother Lucille Shazer, is 108 years old. And we have the pleasure of meeting her. So we're going to sit at the foot of wisdom. So if you're listening and you are near Cordell, Georgia, and you want to go and attend this event, it's free. Just show up. You know, we are following CDC recommendations. So we will be social distancing and we will require you to have a mask on. But come out and meet Mother Shazer and sit at the feet of wisdom and listen to this 108-year-old woman talk about her life. She has, you guys have a lot going on. Would I tell you this 108-year-old woman remembers everything? She remembers everything. She told me a story of when she was a child playing in the grass and she was 8 years old and she was using grass to braid her baby doll's hair. That was 100 years ago. Okay, some of our memories, we can't even remember what happened yesterday. So this is cause to celebrate. So we, Pay-Per-View Publishing, we want to celebrate with you and we want to help you as you continue on your story writing journey. And there are so many things. I'm so blessed to be able to do so many things. So what am I celebrating? I've talked about what everybody else was celebrating. So I'm celebrating the opportunity to be able to make a difference in the life of people and to be able to let my light shine and to glorify God. That's what I'm celebrating. And as you can see, this has been a phenomenal year where I've been able to connect with people not only on this platform, but on a global platform, to be able to make a difference in the life of so many people and to help so many people take their stories from a thought to a realization. It has been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so how about you? How can I help you take your story from a thought to a realization? So if you are interested, you have a story, and I know that you do have a story because just like I said before, 100% of everybody living and dead has a story. Reach out to me, schedule a free coaching and development session for 30 minutes. I can help you with your story and help you with some ideas. And reach out, email me at laquita@afailuretocommunicate.com or message me through my website, www.payprovpublishing.com. And let me help you write your story. No matter where you are in your story writing journey, we can help you. If you have a story, and I know you do, and you're stuck, you don't quite know what to do, I can help you get unstuck. if you have a story but you don't even know how to start, we can help you get started. If you've written your story and you just need somebody to help you publish it, we can help you do that too. So wherever you are in the story writing journey, we can help you. Somebody else, there's somebody always waiting on the other side of your story so that they can get healing from their story. So it has been a plump, pleasing pleasure. This has been such a pleasure. I am so, so thankful for all of you for joining me today. For those of you that are listening, reach out to Mr. Ellsworth Grant. He can give you some tips on investing, penny stocks, investing in stocks and bonds, and you can ask him some questions. He can give you some ideas and suggestions. But the one thing I will tell you, he's going to tell you to do your research. You got to do the work. That's in everything that we do. We have to do the work. We have to, if you want to invest your money, you want to know where, don't turn your money over to anybody. Do the research. If you want to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got to do the work. As a Christian, being a Christian, you can't do nothing. You got to do something. Everything. And writing your story, you got to do the work. There is no way around it. Even if, and we do ghostwriting projects. So even if we write your story for you, guess what? You still got to do the work because you got to tell us your story. You got to give it to us. You got to tell us what you want to write about, what you want us to write about, how you want us to embody you so that this story flows as if it's coming from you. So before we go, I'm going to go around the room and ask if there are any final comments. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Grant. Do you have any final comments you want to share with the listening audience today before we say goodbye?
No, not particularly. I think this is outstanding. I'm blessed to have been part of and talk to, you know, people who I normally never would have unless you invited me. And it's always great to see and learn and grow and love people. So thank you for inviting me. And anytime you need me, you know what it is. Just give me a call and I got you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And connect with each other. And I can connect you guys, uh-huh. You know, connect with each other and that's great. You know, me and iron sharpening iron. Mr. Brooks, any final comments or any final thoughts?
I'd just like to say that thank you for the meeting and all the participation. And leave you with this. There's nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self.
I love it. I love it. That yeah. Kind of sounds like there's nothing wrong with you that a change in me won't fix.
No, somebody I know named Brooks said that.
I don't know. You got to show me the copyright on that. Mr. Patterson.
I'd like to get everybody's number if possible. That wisdom Mr. Book kicking out and that knowledge and wisdom that Mr. Ellsworth is sending out, man, that's powerful. And as Gentleman said previous, you know, when men come together, there's power. And I just look forward to being able to share that power and grow in it with you guys if possible. You know, I don't want to talk about it, I want to be about it. So hopefully I can make contact and definitely get me some stock investment and guidance. Cool.
You know, I will say he's the one to do it. I got me some in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I am invested in Granted Solutions.
Yeah.
Kevin, any final words before we go?
No, I just wanted to thank you guys for being with us, and back to you. I'm excited about connecting with you guys. I put my stuff in the chat, so we'll talk appropriately, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. So this has been another awesome, amazing session of So What's Your Story? Join us next month when we are asking, what are you thankful for? We're talking about how to write your story. It's a monthly series that we do on how to write your story. So if you have a story, reach out. Send us a message at www.paprovpublishing.com. Take a look at our website. Go by, purchase our book. Support these authors. They work hard to get their stories out. Support them. And leave a message. If you want to get in touch with any one of these men on this call, reach out to me or reach out to Kevin Vaughn, and we can make it happen. So with that being said, it has been a pleasure. And until next time.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, all across the globe, make sure that you share this out, ladies and gentlemen, to all your network. We got some powerful people. We want you to share this out on your network so people can know more about Pray Pro V Publishing, ladiesandgentlemen.com. That's PrayProVPublishing.com. But please share this out to at least 20 or 30 people on your network, ladies and gentlemen, so they can be blessed by the information shared today and also the services that each one of us have here today. So thank you so much for that. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, so what are you celebrating? Let Sister Parks know what you're celebrating, ladies and gentlemen. Get in touch with her through the wonderful website. That's PrayProVPublishing.com. So what's your story? We do the series once a month, ladies and gentlemen, and your story is important. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, nobody can stop you but you. So let's bring it, ladies and gentlemen, and make sure you have a celebration, not only once a year, but every day, ladies and gentlemen. Take care. This has been What's Your Celebration with the wonderful Laquita Parks, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and founder of Pay Pro V Publishing. We'll see you next time on the network. God bless you now.
God bless everybody.
Let's celebrate. Come on. Let's celebrate. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Let's celebrate. It's alright.
All right, Sister Parks, have a great day. Take care, everybody.
Right, goodbye.
God bless you, everybody. Remember that Jesus is Lord. God bless.